Hi, everybody. I'm Lacey.
I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister.
Did you want to introduce yourselves with your elf names?
I'm Twinkle Dusty Toes.
I'm Junior Bright Cheeks, which
you are.
Where's the junior come from?
You're your papa, Senior Bright Cheeks.
Okay.
And I am Blinky Wigglebum.
Huh.
So pretty much you have a fat ass.
It just wiggles.
She wiggles it and
you
blinks.
Bright cheeks. Settle down.
You guys have butt stuff.
I just don't wash my toes.
Yeah, why are your toes so dusty?
I don't wear shoes.
Why aren't you washing your feet?
Don't worry about it.
Also, Twinkle is definitely a stripper name.
Oh, but I feel like not Twinkle Dusty Toes. I feel like Dusty Toes would turn people off of my routine.
You don't use the last name when you're on the pole, so.
That's true.
And here comes Twinkle.
Welcome Twinkle to the main stage.
Or like Twinkle Bright Cheeks.
Oh.
Yeah. I was going to say Twinkle Star, but that's like
a little too much. You'd have to put two R's star? On the star. Then it's a porn star name.
I mean, stripping.
Nobody wants to watch Blinky up on a stage. Or Junior.
No, but they might watch Ms. Wigglebum.
Ms.?
That's not married. Like a little bit of mystery.
It sounds like if Lacey didn't get married and she became an old cat lady, she would have a fat cat name that she called Mrs. Wigglebum.
Ms. Wigglebum. Yes.
How's everybody's, Oh. So yes. I don't know if you've guys seen, there's like some new JonBenet Ramsey stuff in the news.
Yeah, it's on Netflix too.
Yeah, that's the reason why it's in the news. There's a documentary out. Nothing new has been discovered. The documentary came out and the Boulder police got all butthurt about it. Was like, you guys are portraying us in a really negative way.
Well, I wonder how they're able to do that.
It's really hard to be negative when it's being truthful.
Yeah, the DNA that was found in JonBenet's underwear was tested, and it's ruled out, like, everyone that she knows. So it was not her brother.
Interesting.
Good.
But, I mean, if you want, we can revisit the case and go over, like, why it's still very weird. Like, so they've basically said it had to have been a stranger who broke into the house.
Well, I mean, we never covered the case.
I think we did.
We did, didn't we?
Pretty
I think
sure.
We did.
I think so.
We did because, yeah, I think it was Drew's.
It was mine.
I didn't know much about it, and I was just baffled because any rumor I ever heard was always about, like, oh, her parents were involved, and then we were learning about the case, and I was like, it doesn't sound like her parents were involved.
But then there's other parts of it that you're like, were her parents involved a little
bit? Yes, and it was, I don't remember being able to even come up with a good theory.
Because there's so many things that are like, okay, that's definitely a parent. Okay, that's definitely the brother. Okay, that might be a stranger. There's a lot of different parts where you're just like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
It was episodes 62 and 63.
Okay.
It was published January this year. That's why.
Oh, almost a year ago.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Mems.
You know, but shortly we'll be in 2025.
Yeah.
One of the stories that I read in my 10th grade curriculum, I just read it this week with my 10th graders, is a post-apocalyptic story, and it takes place in 2026. And we read it the other day, and I was like, that's right around the corner.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a future story anymore in like two school years.
I feel like people, like some stories, when they are post-apocalyptic. They pick a year that is definitely achievable.
Yeah.
And I don't care for that because then I feel like, what did we
Then you
do
get
wrong?
there and you're like, oh, the fun of the story is a little bit gone.
Yeah, it's definitely like, it could happen. Like, if shit really hits the fan, I could see it going wrong to this
Yeah.
point. But, like, I'm using, like, The Walking Dead in my head. Like,
Yeah. Well, this story, it's called There Will Come Soft Rains, and it's post a, like a nuclear disaster. So possible, but it's also set in a time period where like houses are, remember Smart House? Remember that show? It was like
yeah,
Disney or whatever. It's
it's a
basically a
movie.
smart house. Yeah.
Is was it called
Everybody's
Smart
dead. The
House or was
house
it
is like
called
all
like
destroyed.
Mom House or something like that?
I don't remember.
I thought it was Smart House.
It got like too smart, right? It was like too self-aware.
Yeah, it
Well,
got
it
too
like
attached
it
to the
became the
family.
mom. Oh, you were right. It was called Smart House.
Yeah.
But she like made
She got
herself
yeah, she
so
got
that they
too
wouldn't
attached
just
to the
walk through the
kids
wall.
and was trying to protect them
Yeah.
too much.
It was
Was the
very
future.
helicopter parenty. I think it was a metaphor about like stay at
Technology?
home moms.
Oh, okay. You think Disney Channel was that deep?
Everything is a metaphor for Disney.
Right.
They're sitting there in their rooms going, That's why they drop little Easter eggs in there, like 10 steps ahead of us.
Okay, great. Lucy, what are we talking about today?
I'm gonna tell you guys about a young lady named Mercy Brown. Have either of you ever heard of Mercy Brown?
No.
Say
Maybe.
no. Okay. I feel like every time I pick a case, you guys are like, oh, I know that.
I think it's just a, it's I've heard names that are very similar to that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I covered a case of Betty Gail Brown.
That sounds like somebody
And I
that
was. No shit. Sounds like
we've
somebody.
talked
I don't think
about.
they're related.
So I learned about Mercy Brown because when I did the Hinterkaifeck murders, that one in Germany, I watched an episode of the show called Lore, which is on Prime, which was about that, and I liked it. So I went back and started watching other episodes, and I learned about this through one of those episodes, and I thought it was cool.
Speaking of things to watch on TV, did you watch that video, the trailer I sent you?
Don't remember.
Barb and Star?
Yes.
That's
No.
going to be you and me, Lacey, when our husbands are dead and we're
Oh no.
menopausal.
No, what do you mean? You get to live a true.
Do weird stretches
But
on beds.
they're dead and we're menopausal. We're not even like super old. We're just in our 50s and our husbands are dead.
Did you watch the trailer? They're not in their 80s. It's not the Golden Girls. It's
Want to.
pre-Golden Girls. I feel like you're hanging too much on the fact that the husbands are dead.
You've killed off my husband.
Yeah,
And we're also.
we're in this scenario, we're over it. So.
Oh, okay. Well, at
If
least
we
I
were
have you to help me
also
through it.
talking about TV show wrecks, I haven't watched an episode yet, but I've heard good things of based on a true story on Peacock.
Oh, I haven't even heard of that one.
It's
Oh.
my coworker was saying that it's two people find out that their neighbor's a serial killer, then instead of turning him in, they start a podcast and they start like interviewing him before he's even like found out or owned up
It's a
to
good way to
the shit.
get
Yeah.
another victim.
I feel like I've heard about that.
It's a good way to really get an audience.
Yes, I did hear about that because it's the girl from Big Bang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Bailey.
Yes. And then I did want to mention real quick, Bailey, you recommended the St. Denis Medical show.
Yeah.
Love it.
So
But
good.
the one guy in there, do you know that he went to high school with Lewis?
Which guy?
The bad one. I forget his name. Mark?
The trauma,
No. Not the
surgeon?
doctor. The nurse who stabs himself in the thumb with the EpiPen.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was. So he was actually on. Do you remember that show, The Jury?
I
Where
never
everybody's
watched
an
it,
actor?
but you told me
Yeah,
about
he was on that show. That was like his acting debut, and now he's on this show.
Oh.
And so every time I pop up, I'm like, Lou, look, there's your friend. And
he's like, hilarious on St. Dennis.
He's so cringy.
He is, but also it's just very funny to see, like, it's a good depiction of, like, when you first get on the floor as a nurse. Yeah.
I mean, I will say, when he, like, berated that patient for not telling him thank you for saving his life, I was like, I feel that. People don't thank you.
No.
I don't usually berate people about it, and I don't follow up with them because I don't care.
Yeah.
I did my job. Anyway, what are we talking about? Mercy?
Mercy Brown.
Now, is there like a school named after her or like a library? Mercy Brown.
Great question. There's a lot of America, so there may very well be a school or library named Mercy Brown.
Oh. Also, Mercy is just like...
It was a Mercy popular name.
It's a name. It's also a word. So... Like, I'm pretty sure in Grey's Anatomy, the other hospital is, like, Mercy West.
Mm.
So.
Tell me more.
And then Brown is probably one of the most common last names in the country.
It's also a color.
A color.
What a great team.
We're really taking the time to dissect the words
and
today.
What does the L stand for, I wonder?
Lauren. Yeah. Oh.
What did you think?
Oh, Lena.
Oh. I was going to suggest Lacey. Her name was Mercy Lacey Brown.
That's a lot of E sounds in there.
Yeah. But then I genuinely felt a little bit.
We're going to have to cut out the beginning because I can just feel the like listeners just dropping from this. Because we're 14 minutes into this and the banter's not great.
All right. Would you like me to dive us into the story?
Yeah, let's What's get it going. Crazy?
Right.
What happened it was
the late 1800s, a time when medical science struggled to keep up with the mysteries of disease and death. Tuberculosis was rampant. At the time, it was referred to as consumption because the wasted appearance of those who became ill made them look as if they were being consumed.
Oh.
We know now that tuberculosis is caused by bacteria that typically attacks the lungs. At the time our story takes place, people didn't know what caused it. All they knew was that it was almost always a death sentence. Mm-hmm. Some would survive their first bout with the disease, only to die years later when it returned. They didn't yet understand that it was contagious, and therefore those afflicted were not avoided. Because of this, it would often run through entire families, wiping out generations. It's believed that by the late 1800s, 450 Americans were dying from consumption every day.
Including
Did they
my
try
parents
to lead the patients to see if that worked?
Probably. I don't know, but I want to say yes. You know, they tried all kinds of things. I'm going to tell you about one thing they tried.
My character from Red Dead Redemption died of consumption.
Oh, I'm sorry. There was no cure.
No, I know. He died on a mountaintop. It was very sad.
Oh. I'm sorry.
I'm gasping for
On a mountaintop?
A medical description written in the late 1800s reads, quote, "The emaciated figure strikes one with terror, the forehead covered with drops of sweat, the cheeks painted with a livid crimson, the eyes sunk, the breath offensive, quick and laborious, and the cough so incessant as to scarce allow the wretched sufferer time to tell his complaints." End quote.
Someone needs to describe COVID in the same way, in like different
we've
words.
Really lost, we've lost our
We lost so much, like,
Along
theatrics.
The way.
Like,
yes.
Adjectives.
The drama.
Yeah.
I thought that it started off very, like, lovely. And then, like, it took a turn there.
When I said the breath offensive.
The breath, yeah, really.
I saw your face change when I said that. You looked offended yourself.
That's where, like, there was a fork in the road. And we took a sharp left. And then we started like, calling them, like, wretched.
They look terrible and sad and pitiful. And their breath is awful.
Yeah,
and they like, will not stop coughing.
I will say, I feel that. Like, when you're in a room with someone and they just won't stop coughing. You're just like, can you
Annoying,
just, like,
right?
Just die of consumption already?
As consumption was poorly understood, and it was the late 1800s, it was the subject of much superstition.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you about it.
Please.
Exeter, Rhode Island was sparsely populated. Between the Civil War a few decades earlier and the number of people heading west to seek their fortunes, the population of Exeter had dipped to around 960.
It was called a small... Exeter.
Yeah, Exeter.
Like, exit.
There, I think there's an Exeter in PA.
Well, they don't expect
to be caught up in a lot of words today. Yeah.
It was a small rural town, seemingly like any other quiet settlement, but underneath its serene surface, whispers of superstition lingered. This is where our story begins, with the Brown family.
Did you write that, or was that another poet?
Yeah. No, that was me. I only had the one quote in here.
I really
try to be more deliberate with my notes instead of just like a lot of bullet points. Although, when I do a lot of bullet points, it gives me, I don't know. I feel like that's part of why my stories have been getting shorter.
Why?
I really wanted to make a racist joke, but I won't.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the restraint.
What was the...
She said the Brown family. No,
tell us. Oh.
I see.
There's like, the one Brown family in Exeter in the 1800s. Okay. I think that would have been a funny joke.
I know it's 1800s, but like, when you Lacey... led with...
I bet that was a big problem for Lacey. That there was one Brown family.
I don't know how to tell the story. All right. George Brown was a hardworking farmer devoted to his family and his land. He and his wife, Mary Eliza Brown, were well respected in their community. But tragedy loomed over the Brown family like a storm cloud, refusing to drift away.
Did you write that?
She's so theatrical today.
I know.
Oh my god. It's like she's an English teacher.
Oh my god. Putting that degree to use, you know what I mean?
Ooh. Is this what you're using it for?
Yeah, I'm done with teaching.
Hey, you can use an English degree for so many things, okay? Thing. Just like a bio degree. Sorry, Lacey, stop talking. I'm talking.
Well, you're right.
I'm done.
Can I go now?
Yeah.
The first to succumb was Mary Eliza herself in December 1883. The community mourned with George, yet this would only be the beginning. Soon after, the couple's eldest daughter, Mary Olive, fell ill at 20 years old. Mary Olive was a dressmaker who went by the nickname Ollie.
Oh,
that's pretty cool.
I know. Her decline was rapid, a grim echo of her mother's death. She complained of terrible dreams and a crushing weight on her chest. In June 1884, just 6 months after her mother passed, Mary Olive died. The family was devastated, yet George, hardened by loss, continued on for the sake of his remaining children. But the tragedy wasn't over yet. Among George and Mary's children was Mercy Brown, who went by her middle name, Lena. I'm going to keep calling her Mercy because I like it. Known for her bright eyes and compassionate nature, Mercy was the heart of the Brown family. But as the years passed, tuberculosis would return. In 1889, Bailey...
I was just going to say, the picture that you're showing, one, I get it's an old photo. It's really hard to see that she has bright eyes.
Yeah, it's literally the only picture I could find, and it's just, like, the worst picture ever taken of anybody, and I'm sorry.
Mercy,
if you're listening.
She doesn't exude the heart of a family.
Yeah, I was gonna say, she's not, the eyes aren't what's jumping out at me.
Yeah. You know, they were also small town farmers, so it was a hard life.
Okay, even if you were bright-eyed, I would have expected, like, I don't know, like a smile or something.
Well, she's
maybe
smiling.
They took this after she got sick.
Teeth.
Kind of. I what feel like you see a
that's
tooth.
Not teeth.
Yeah.
That's a shadow.
Right there.
What's that? What?
We're she's got like a smile tooth.
Oh my god.
So she's Nanny McPhee now?
Exactly.
Oh, I love that movie. In 1889. George's only son, Edwin, began showing signs of the disease not long after marrying. He dreamed about drowning, and in the mornings felt as if the blood had been drained from his body.
That's a cure.
Well, you know, maybe he was afraid of needles. Desperate for hope, George sent him away to seek treatment in Colorado Springs, where the fresh mountain air was said to have healing properties. Hmm. But while Edwin clung to life far from home, Mercy fell ill in 1891. Mercy's decline was swift. On January 17, 1892, she died at just 19 years old, leaving her father broken and the community uneasy. This was now the third death in the Brown family. The only remaining members were George and Edwin. There were other sisters. We just don't really care about them right now.
Well, they're not the heart.
Yeah. Well, Edwin returned home, seemingly healed, to learn that his little sister had died.
Can you imagine getting sick and then being told, you know what you need? A vacation.
Fresh air. We're sending you to a higher elevation.
I would love that. Which
it was a stay. I should have put some in there. I found some pictures and stuff. But going like to a higher they would elevation send people is make out west. Too.
I'm just like kind of confused how this is going to fit into our genre. Because it sounds like she was murdered by
tuberculosis.
I am or one. What?
Or was it tuberculosis?
I'm two one. Bullet points away from the sinister.
Okay, Clock great. With,
it was the flu.
Oh, it was COVID.
Sinister. It wasn't long after he returned home that Edwin's symptoms returned stronger than ever. As the Brown family continued to suffer, fear and paranoia gripped Exeter. The villagers, desperate for explanations, turned to folklore, like much of New England had.
Can I hold on? So yeah. His symptoms was he was having nightmares.
No, he had like the regular TB symptoms. He just also had nightmares.
Okay. Because yeah. Didn't you say that he felt like he was drained of blood? So he's just anemic. Oh. Like, eat more iron.
Yeah, he felt like he'd been drained of blood and died. God. Dreamed of drowning, I think. Yeah.
Who?
Yeah, he also had all the TB symptoms. He just also... These will add to the sinister.
Hey,
the dreams.
Bailey.
Hmm.
I'm going to kind of take a guess here. I'm getting the sense that we're heading in a witchy direction. Maybe. Who do you think the townspeople are going to accuse of being a witch?
The father.
I'm going to say Mercy.
She's dead.
I'm going to have a curveball. I'm going to say that they think that she's like the, I don't know, a cat that came back or something.
Why don't you just say that it's the mom that came back and killed her daughters?
Because Mercy was the heart.
Okay, so she's good. She shouldn't have to, she's not a witch.
Okay, you want it to be the dad. I'm putting my money on Mercy, okay?
Lacey.
The villagers whispered that consumption wasn't just a disease, it was a curse. An evil presence that could rise from the grave to claim the living. Mm. Townsfolk began to claim that Mercy could be seen walking about at night. Edwin reported that his sister was sitting on his chest, suffocating him.
Edwin.
He would talk in his sleep, crying out things like, "She's here, she wants me to come with her, and she haunts me." One story floated above the rest, that of the vampire. New England was no stranger to such tales. From Connecticut to Vermont, cases of supposed vampires had been documented, and desperate families would go to great lengths to stop what they believed were supernatural forces. Rumors began to spread that one of the dead Brown women was not truly dead, but rather was haunting Edwin, sapping his life from beyond the grave. Close friends came to George begging him to do something drastic, exhume the bodies of his wife and daughters.
And then what?
How about...
I tell you, it's horrifying.
How about... Fuck you. Focus on someone else. He just buried his wife and his children.
Hey, I have a question.
Send him back to Colorado.
When did people stop being referred to as villagers?
Probably when we... making cities.
Yeah.
Really?
When we pass whatever the threshold is from village to town or whatever.
Okay.
Let's just bring it back.
Yeah, because like the villagers are wild.
Put in a conversation, something like, how many villagers do you think live in New York City now?
Did you hear about the villager that like went missing? Oh.
Yeah. Ooh, well, it's so quaint.
Is it?
Yes. In March 1892.
It gives me like a sinister vibe to it. Go ahead.
In March 1892, driven by fear and the counsel of worried neighbors, George Brown made a choice that would go down in history. On March 17th, the bodies of Mary Eliza, Ollie, and Mercy were to be exhumed to see if any of them were the source of this alleged curse.
I would haunt the shit out of him.
George. Also,
coming back, what makes them think that their bodies are, like, not there?
Well, they're not looking for the bodies to be not there. They're looking for them, for their signs of the bodies to not be really dead.
To have moved?
As a vampires. The undead.
But also...
Science, Bailey. Obviously.
Science!
Also, fuck Edmund for, like, feeding into all this bullshit.
How old is he?
He's dying. He
just wanted attention.
He's, like, 20 or 21, I think.
Okay.
Bailey, can you imagine if you were on your deathbed, but your, like, only living relative, well, only important living relative, is too grief-stricken with the deaths of the other three? That he can't be bothered to, like, care about you.
You're just another in the line.
He cares about him
so much that he is going to extremes to try to save him now.
It was his only son, right?
Yes. True. He's gonna dig up his wife and two daughters to see if he can save his son.
I'm a middle child, so yeah, I can understand that.
George, town officials, and the family doctor were present at the exhumations. Mary Eliza and Ollie's bodies showed the expected signs of decomposition, so were free from suspicion. But when the crypt where Mercy had been laid to rest was opened, those gathered gasped. Mercy's body appeared unnaturally preserved, with her cheeks still holding a touch of color. Her nails and hair appeared longer than when she died. This was taken as a clear sign by onlookers that she was undead. We can guess that it had more to do with the fact that her body had been stored in an above-ground crypt during a New England winter, while her father waited for the ground to soften enough to bury her. She was just well-preserved. We also know that nails and hair can appear longer after death due to the skin losing moisture and retracting, but they don't really grow longer. However, to the 1800s villagers, she clearly had not been dead for months. She was a vampire.
I'm just picturing, like, you remember The Crucible?
Yeah, I just read that with my juniors.
Yeah, I'm just picturing a bunch of, like, those villagers.
I was just thinking that if we brought back the term the villagers, then we would all get a village idiot.
Oh, do we vote?
I think you, like, within your own village, you can't, like, step over here and be like, I vote for Drew. Like, we're not in the same village.
I wanted to be in your village.
Well, then
you
move.
Have to move closer.
No. Join my village.
Let's grow our villages until the boundaries.
Does it mean that we go back to having a town crier, too?
Ooh.
No, it's not extra extra.
That's the newsies, love.
Yeah. I think it's also like a different era.
I almost 1920s. Skipped over this. I almost skipped this bullet point and went to my next section. In addition, when her heart was removed, it was said to still contain liquid blood.
So they also took her apart?
Yes. They checked her organs for signs of life, which they found in her heart.
What were they expecting? Like, what?
I think they didn't expect any liquid to still be, like, liquidy. I guess. It was a clear sign to them. So, believing they had found the source of Edwin's affliction, the townspeople performed a dark ritual.
Good.
They burned Mercy's heart and liver, creating ashes that they mixed with water to form a tonic.
Oh,
this remedy was given to Edwin in hopes of freeing him from the curse.
Gross. The
idea, this wasn't something they made up. This was a thing that was going around in New England. The idea was that the undead had been draining the life force from the living by ingesting parts of the undead that were still alive. Air quotes. The living could reclaim that life force.
Who Bailey. Comes up with this?
So, to beat a vampire, they're doing dark magic?
Yes. To save the living from the undead.
Right.
I'm following the logic. Myself.
And also, I know they don't know anything about TB at this point, but, like, she died from something. And we're just feeding bits of her to her already sick brother.
Really, she's not dead. That's the whole point. She didn't just die of something. She's not
vampire.
Dead.
She was sick when she was alive.
But, like, backing up, like, taking a step back, Bailey's absolutely right. They all should have taken a bite of her
diseased organs.
Yeah.
Maybe just take a shot of her blood too.
This is why I bet that's why like the plague and all those like the Spanish flu and shit. People
were like
stupid
eating each other's sick bodies. Anyway, it was all in vain. Edwin succumbed to TB 2 months later.
Shocking.
The grim ritual had done nothing to halt the disease. Yet it left a mark on Exeter's history and Mercy Brown's legacy. Tragedy wasn't done with George yet. His daughter, Annie Laura, died of consumption in August 1895.
Was she
Jenny Adeline? Huh?
Are these the important ones or?
No, these are just, I'm mentioning them because I feel like mentioned. If their sisters got mentioned, they should too. You know what I mean? Another daughter, Jenny Adeline Brown, died of consumption in October 1895, and Myra Frances Brown died in 1899. The only child who outlived him was Hattie May, who had 3 children and lived to the age of 79.
Hattie May.
He didn't die?
No, he didn't die of tuberculosis. Every fucking buddy else did.
Except for Hattie.
Yeah, except Hattie May. The story of Mercy Brown didn't die with Edwin. It traveled beyond Exeter, fascinating writers, journalists, and folklorists. And while the New England vampire panic subsided as medical understanding improved, this peculiar chapter persisted in memory. Stories about a man desperate enough to dig up his own family to try and save his son spread across the sea. One of these news stories eventually reached the ears of none other than Bram Stoker himself. Do we know who Bram Stoker is?
An author.
Bram Stoker later authored the novel Dracula. Historians believe the Mercy Brown story inspired Dracula, a novel that has become the defining piece of vampire lore to this day. When Bram Stoker died, newspaper accounts of Mercy Brown's story were found in his files.
I thought the guy that wrote Dracula was also intrigued by Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah, that too. I think he drew inspiration from all over. They think that Mercy was the inspiration for, hold on, what was her name? I don't know why I didn't write it down. It's because I thought I would remember it. Lucy. They think that she inspired Lucy in the book.
I didn't know there was a Lucy in the book.
Yeah, I love that you just said that, like, we know who she is.
Well, now you know that there's a Lucy in the book.
Who is she?
There's a vampire that's feeding on her. But like she doesn't know it and people don't know it, but she looks like she's getting sicker and sicker every day. She's kind of like wasting away.
Like consumption?
Is yeah. this a spoiler?
I don't think so. I think yeah. Dracula's been around long enough that I'm not spoiling any of Dracula for anybody.
You're gonna get so much hate mail.
A book is not the only thing that Mercy Brown inspired. In the 1960s, a high school teacher in Coventry, Rhode Island, told their students about the Mercy Brown story, but for some reason, didn't give any specific names or places. The students went looking for a grave site that fit the story and found themselves at the burial place of Nellie Vaughn in West Greenwich. Nellie died at the age of 19 from pneumonia, and in the early years after her death, as far as we know, there was never a whiff of a rumor about her being a vampire. However, after those Coventry students decided she must be the vampire their teacher had told them about, the rumors began. It was said that grass and other plants refused to grow over her grave, that the grave was slowly sinking into the ground. The words, "I am waiting and watching for you," inscribed on her tombstone, only added fuel to the fire. Because of her sudden vampire popularity, the cemetery began dealing with vandalism and eventually removed Nellie's tombstone in response. Interestingly, it seems that grass is able to grow, and the gravesite is no longer sinking now that visitors aren't trampling over it all the time.
Interesting.
The stories about Nellie have also changed. People now say that they've seen a young woman in Victorian clothing appear and vanish near the grave. Others have heard a woman's voice near the gravesite say, "I am perfectly pleasant." Some people believe that Nellie's ghost is trying to clear her name because she is accused of being a vampire.
She's just giving herself affirmations.
Yes.
I mean, she was, like, resting easy for years, and then some...
People just showed up and started walking all over her grave.
And then they took her stone.
Yeah. Like, and it didn't even say, like, oh, we relocated it to here. It was just, like, they removed it.
Yeah. If I was... I'm assuming she didn't have any family that was around who would have made a fuss, but, like, if I was family, I would have been pissed.
Yeah. You can see here in this picture of Mercy Brown's gravestone, there's this like metal band kind of around the base. They've got it like locked down because people have tried to steal Mercy's. People are weird.
Is
You
weird.
said that it's two slides or two pictures. This is the
No,
only
just two
picture?
pictures. Yeah.
Oh.
And that is a story of Rhode Island's most famous vampire and the last recorded attempt to exhume a body and use a vampire's organs to save somebody else from illness.
It's crazy that first of all that sentence exists, and that also you have to say it was the last time that that
Yeah,
happened.
were there
How
times
many other times
before?
were there?
Yeah, Mercy wasn't the first one. She became the most famous one, and I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's because so many people in her family were sick, and like the town was really riled up about it. They really thought they had a vampire. But the reason that they did it was because it had been done in other places. It
It's
was
because
like
she was
spreading
the
throughout
heart.
New England. Yeah, so when they were like, let's burn our organs and feed the tonic to Edwin, that was something that communities had been doing in New England.
That's
They didn't
why
just like come
everybody
up with it.
was on board for it. They were like, yeah,
Yeah.
makes sense.
And
that's
that
why they were
was
able to convince George too, because they were like, hey, this other town dug up their vampire and, no more people dying from consumption.
I also really like the fact that George, the dad, was just like, yeah, you know what? You're probably right. She probably was a vampire.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not notice the signs?
What signs is he supposed to look for?
I don't know. Just
Exactly.
the vampire-y stuff.
I think he was probably a little bit like, maybe I'm giving him like too much benefit of the doubt. I feel like he was probably a little crazy with grief and his son was
Desperate.
dying and he was like, if you think digging up the girls will help, let's dig up the girls.
Or no one was listening to him, and then he was like, you know what? You want to see that my people are actually dead? Sure, let's
That could
open
have been
them.
too. He was
And
like,
then they
fine, I'll
could
prove it to you.
grasp onto anything. Also, it's astounding to me that that was like a little over 100 years ago.
Yeah, it feels long because 1800s feels long ago, but it's not like that long ago.
It's also just like,
We have advanced so much.
what were we doing?
What were we doing?
We weren't doing anything. We're not from the New England area. Well,
I bet I would have been on board if I was alive.
oh, Lacey. You are a follower.
I certainly am.
She would have been George going, makes sense to me.
Yeah. George, let him dig him up. There's no other explanation.
She'd be the first one with a shovel.
Yeah, I'd be helping.
And then, oh, look, there's blood still in her heart.
Your cheeks are pink.
Also,
Vampire.
whoever came up with the whole like, oh, we need to like make that cocktail from her heart and liver, that was the town idiot.
That's horrifying. That's
They
so
just
gross.
didn't label him yet, and
I like to think that Edwin was already so sick he didn't know what he was drinking. He was just like, more gross medicine.
do you think he was taking medicine before?
I don't know what they did.
Flowers.
How do you treat vampire draining illness?
You drink more blood.
Vampire's
You replace your
heart.
losses.
Well, that was
Guys,
sinister.
okay. No, I don't have anything else. God. don't know.
Stay tuned to our new episodes every Sunday. Follow us on
Oh, good.
Instagram and TikTok.
Join our Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see what we're
We have
wearing.
a shop too.
Yeah, we do. Buy merch.
Yeah.
Patreon is currently on sale for the holidays.
Our merch is not, but I meant to put it on merch on sale.
Full price for you.
It'll be going on sale soon.
Mom wants a shirt, Vale.
Okay, she can buy one.
Okay.
Somebody send Jan a link.
And if you join our Patreon, we're going to be doing some holiday videos. Having fun. So,
Yeah.
no,
No,
we
we
won't. We're
won't.
not going to do that. 100% no. I won't be a part of that.
The only way to know for sure is to join the Patreon.
I'll just be in the background laughing.
I'm going to be like this.
Okay, my husband is making his presence known.
Huh?
Pat's slamming things. All right. That was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.